All right, 31. 31, Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy.
Right.
Yeah, people who've never heard before.
Yes, 31 for people that have never heard me before. Deuteronomy 31. Deuter means two, and nomos means law. Second reading of the law after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And while they wandered, they griped, complained, moaned, and murmured. And that's how God cared. I didn't do that. God said that. The people here were not happy about this trip. How many know that Jesus learned obedience through what he
suffered?
He only learned obedience by what he suffered. So isn't that exciting to suffer?
Yes.
That's the gospel right there. The gospel is, while you're suffering, God is with you.
Amen.
He'll never leave you.
Amen.
Or forsake you. So when you're suffering, it's actually good news, because God always makes it come out good for his children.
Praise the Lord.
So if you're a child of his, if you believe that Jesus spoke the truth, and that's all it takes, then he counts that as righteous. Without doing the deeds of the law. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to behave. Thank God, because most of us don't.
That's true.
We misbehave every once in a while. Rare, but we do misbehave every once in a while. Like every nanosecond. And so don't worry about it. God has already, Jesus died on a cross for you before the world began. He was slain from. So this was decided in eternity, but it showed up as soon as time began. From the foundation of the world. He was slain for our sins. He couldn't do it beforehand. He could have done it, but he didn't do it beforehand. But he was ready. He was RWA, ready, willing, able. So he was able then to do whatever needed to be done for your salvation. Why did he come? For your salvation. His name is Yeshua. Did you know Yeshua means salvation? Did you know Joshua is the same as Yeshua?
Yeah.
So we're going to read about Joshua. It's his turn. Moses is going to die. This is his birthday. On his birthday, he's going to die. He will be buried up in the eastern side of the Jordan, which is Moab. So right now, he's with the people. They haven't yet crossed over. And so this is it. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that our fathers, all that was our fathers, taken it away. How many know that COVID is taking life away from people and disturbing the whole economy, stopping education, ruining America, just to defeat President Trump? It's the only reason. They don't even think about some other reason. It was done by the Chinese, and the Chinese deliberately made it. It was made on purpose. It was designed by man that it would go from people to people. And that's the only thing they hadn't figured out. But when they figured it out, now people die easily. Okay. That's because they have underlying causes.
Right.
Or I'll say it a different way. That's because their immune system isn't up to, you know, go. It's not energized anymore. And after 20, your body begins to change. It begins to change. And the same problems that you had before 20, but they didn't bother you, all of a sudden now will bother you for the rest of your life. And the older you get, the more acidic you become. And the older you get, the more the acid then is not able to sustain you. You need to be a little bit alkalinic. And if you do, it solves your problems. So you have to then watch your nutrition. Eat of me.
Amen.
We just sang that. We just sang about that. Eat of me. Jesus said, eat of me. In other words, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's a death tree. Eat of this tree. So we preach against death today for not only Americans, but for the whole world. We preach against that. By the way, any man-made thing sooner or later decays. So COVID will decay. And we prayed for its decay today. We prayed for it on Sunday, the Lord's Day. And we're meeting together in the Lord's house, and this is a church.
That's right.
Yeah. The outside in the hall, it's not a church. That's a common area. But this side, we're in the church. So you're free in a church to do whatever you wish. Okay? And so we're not worried about it. This is not this is we rented this place. So we have a lease on it. So it's ours. So since that's the case, and we pay way ahead of time, so they're already paid for the whole year. And so you don't have to worry about it. Everything is taken care of. And it's always been that way. And so God can make a way when there is no way.
Amen.
We don't know what to do. We don't know if we should send our schools or do it over the, you know, internet, or we don't know how to do it. God will make a way when there's no way.
Okay. Hallelujah.
He will provide when there's no provision.
Okay.
He has thought of everything before the world began. He knows everything. He knows all the secrets of your heart. But he didn't know him later when he came. He knew him before he came.
Yes.
The Boule, the counsel of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's what the word Elohim, the im on the end, I am. That means plural. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jews can't say that, but we can say it. They say there's one God. We say, yes, they all agree. We agree with that. There's only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so they can't say it, so they can't even read the Old Testament. No Jewish person can read the Old Testament without the Spirit of the living God. You read it by the letter, it kills Jesus. You read it by the Spirit, he's resurrected. And when he's resurrected, you're resurrected. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. Now you have a new heart. You don't yet have a new soul. What we're doing today is renewing your heart, renewing your soul, so that we confirm again. We always reconfirm what God did. And so we affirm what Jesus did. And so we're fulfilling the sufferings of Jesus. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're fulfilling them. That COVID would be on Jesus. But all the Egyptian diseases are taken away.
That's right.
Anything in Egypt. And this is one of them. But it's one that we added to because we made it people to people. So it isn't just an ordinary flu. When it's all said and done, you'll find out there's only 70,000 people, maybe 75,000 people, same as every year. So there's no need to shut down the country. There's no need to all this nonsense is going on. Same people. Because they would have died anyway. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying they would have died anyway. And there's so much corruption in this world that a lot of people die without need. They didn't have any need to die. But because, not because the medicine is wrong. Medicine is nothing, actually. The only medicine you want is a merry heart.
Amen.
We have a merry heart.
Amen.
It's good like a medicine. It's not a medicine.
Right.
It's good like a medicine.
Amen.
It's just like a medicine. In other words, it will do it spiritually. So that's the balm in Gilead. And you need that balm to be able to see the Lord spiritually. So that's what's happening here. Now,
what verse are you on?
One. And he heard.
What chapter?
31.
Oh, chapter 1:2. 31:2.
Okay.
And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold. Am I in Genesis?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not in Deuteronomy. No wonder
I'm trying to follow.
That's difficult, David. You cannot follow me. You cannot follow me. All right. So, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. So Israel is going to listen to these words. It's the second time he's reading the law, Deuteronomy 31, verse 2. And he said to them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no longer go out or come in. I can no longer... Now, this is so important. Moses suddenly can't work. The law cannot work. Did you know that anything by a law will never be perfect? Law makes nothing perfect. That is in Hebrews 7th chapter, verse 19. So now Jesus is our high priest. First coming, high priest. Second coming, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So he came first to give us our religion, faith alone. Now he's giving us something more. You're going to actually see the Lord spiritually, but then you'll see him with these eyes.
Hallelujah.
You'll see him with these eyes. You'll actually see him as he comes. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's who he's always been. He's always been King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's never been out of business. From the time that the world began, Jesus was on the earth. And the earth was made for him and by him. The earth was made for him and by him. Colossians. Since it was made for him, that it's for his pleasure. What is his pleasure? To do everything while you do nothing. What is his pleasure? His pleasure is, don't help me. Don't help me. Don't cooperate with me. Don't do anything. You think there's cooperation in the Bible. You're wrong. What you do is, you can't die on the cross for me, but Jesus can. All you can do is believe that Jesus is your all in all.
Hallelujah.
If he's everything to you, then he's your light of the world, he's the salt of the earth. All of these things are just fruits. They're just fruits of believing that Jesus Christ cannot lie. He told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, there's no one else on earth that can do that. They cannot tell you the truth or the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Nobody can do that because you don't even know the secrets of your own heart. But God does. God knows everybody's secrets. He knows all the stuff that you never displayed, you never showed. You hid that. But God knows all your secrets, and you don't know that he knows that. You just know that he says that. So you have to go by faith. You have to say, when I say by faith, that means you can't see it. When I say by faith, it means you cannot see it. So everything in Christianity is invisible. Everything in Christianity is not open to these eyes. You cannot see them. But someday, and we're living in the day, we're in the season right now. Someday he's coming back. And when he comes back, we will rapture up, or however you want to say it, we'll meet him in the air. That's coming. That's not today. And it cannot be today. I guarantee you it's not today. This is the beginning of sorrows. So this COVID and blowing up buildings and anarchy and tyranny and all that, homosexuality, I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl, all that nonsense is just the beginning of sorrows. Don't think that's anything like what's coming. What's coming in the last days, and you're in the last days, you've always been since Daniel. These are the last days. And he prophesied over the next 3,000 years. That was 3,500 years into it, that he was then preaching his gospel by going into the lion's den, and he wasn't eaten up. So the lion, COVID, anything else that you think is a crisis or a problem, is not. So you can die today and go to heaven. So that's not a problem. So you can die at any time. But you need to die daily, spiritually. You need to die. Don't listen to your emotions. Don't listen to your thoughts. Don't listen to your imaginations. Don't listen to your will. Don't listen to anything and do it. Don't act on what you hear, feel, think, want. Don't! Do it. Say, I won't.
I won't.
That's by faith. Because of course you will. And it's okay. That's okay, because he never counts that. He never counts that. Since Jesus died, you died. I've been crucified with Christ, yet I live. But the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who what? Died and gave himself for me. Hey, praise God. That's good news. So since I'm not me anymore, I used to be me, but now, ever since I met Jesus, I'm not me anymore. I'm a different, I have Jesus in me and me in Jesus. That's my new life.
Amen.
That's my new life. I'm betrothed to him now. But someday I'll be married to him. And to do that, he'd have to do a little bit of work on me to improve me. He'd have to kill me over and over and over every single day. Paul says, I die daily. That's in chapter Luke. It says not only live for God, it says also you have to die every day to your old self. Because the old self wants to come up. Pride, anger, fear, lust, bitterness, etc., etc., etc. So all those sins are mafia heads that live inside of you. They're the Girgashites, the Amalekites, the Hittites, and the Hivites, and so on and so forth, Jebusites, and so on. So those are inside of you, and the kingdom of God is within you. So kick them all out.
Hallelujah.
You can't kick them out. Only God can kick them out. God went into the land, and Israel said, no, you can't come in. Stay over on this side of the water. I'm going to go over and put fear in them. And when you come in, you'll destroy them. That's it. Even there was deceit on this one tribe that came and said, oh, we're hungry. And they put all dirt on them and all that kind of stuff and ash, you know, ashes and so on. Could we just make a little covenant with you? Because we know you're powerful people. Because he put fear on everybody. Everybody had fear, but they destroyed most of them, but not relatives. Not relatives. So if you're part of Esau, if you're part of, you know, any other family member, don't ever fight with them. Go through their land and pay for it, and don't worry about the price and so on. Just do it. Just do it. Well, they didn't want to. So the first time they went through 40 some years ago, when they had the law, and he said, go up and take the land, possess it. They didn't want to. I don't want to. There's giants there. I mean, they're giants. I mean, they're big. I mean, they're really big. If you see them, God. I don't know if you can see them, but we can see them. These people are 15 feet tall. They're 10 feet tall. I mean, they're just like giants. And they have big houses, too. Well, I did that for you. You have a big house. You don't have to build it. These guys, they planted all the vineyards. They planted all the olive trees. They planted everything for you. That's your house. Go and take it. I'm not going to take it because those people are big. This COVID is big. Everybody's scared of COVID today, but you're not scared.
No.
Could I say amen?
Amen.
You're not scared because you can't do it. All you got to do is eat the spiritual food that God provides for you every day. And physical food also. You can eat physical food. It'll build up your immune system. If you're immune, you're immune. And I say when it's all done, it's going to be 70,000 people. Because they count a cold now as COVID. They count, you know, arthritis as COVID. They count, you know, everything. They count everything as a death. That's a COVID death. It's not true. It's not true. And the doctors are forced to do it by the government. Say it's COVID. Because they want at least 2 billion people killed. Well, it's not going to happen. We're even far, far, far from it. But not only that, it's not only not going to happen, it's going to end. Amen. We just prayed for it to end, it'll end. If you don't pray, you pray in faith. Don't understand why you're praying. Don't think about it. Don't feel it. Don't want it. Just pray.
Amen.
Just obey. Why? Because God does everything without you. I'm going to say that again. Because God does everything without you. Because God does everything without you. When he went into the land, he said, you can't take these enemies. I'll take them all. I'll finish them off. You cannot do it. I'll put fear in them because I cause everything in the universe. I'm in total control. COVID is not. So the president did wrong. He did wrong. The mayor, they're doing wrong.
Right.
Everybody's doing wrong. And they're tyrants.
Right.
They should never shut down the Lord's day. They should never shut down. He said, meet me every Lord's day.
That's
well,
right.
We can't do it because the government says you can't. So we have to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
We have to obey God Amen. Rather than men. So if the church, now, you know, thank you, the governor changed his mind on that.
Thank you.
And the mayors haven't. Most of the mayors and the local, you know, city councils and so on, they won't do it because they like the power. They want to be powerful. They're such a weakling and they've accomplished nothing, so they like to do something that shows they have power. I kept you from going to church. It doesn't matter because we have WebEx. So I can speak now to 400 or 500 people.
Yeah.
Maybe 600. I don't even know how many people there are. Norman gives us numbers every day of, you know, how many people are listening. But we don't know. But there's a lot more than you think. It's not just this group.
Amen.
And it's done in Dallas. Not done in Dallas. It's done in Fort Worth. In Fort Worth, you can reach that many people. So that's why I'm still preaching there 2 days a week, first and last. And then here, second and third. So now it's the second, and then it'll be the third. And because I do that, that way I'm able then to reach not just out there. You're able to reach people in here. Praise God.
Amen.
So, and the this hotel is not set up for that.
Right.
So we've asked them many times, but they're not set up for it. So we can't do it. There are ways to do it, but we don't need to do it. Okay? But we also do it all during the week. We have ladies' meeting on Tuesday. We have men's meeting on Monday. We have another men's meeting in Dallas on Thursday. And so we're able to reach all kinds of people. And the whole world, Grady and Yvonne listen to it. John Studebaker listens to it in Michigan. People in California, they listen to it. People down in Woodlands listens to it. All over the United States, we have people listening. Okay? So, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's the same gospel. All you got to do is read your Bible.
Yeah.
All you got to do is read the Bible. And you don't have to read it to understand it. Just read it. It doesn't say faith cometh by hearing plus understanding. You didn't have to have any understanding. Well, I didn't understand that. Well, I don't even know if I agree with that one. I don't feel that way. That doesn't make any difference.
That's right.
Just read it. I became a Christian not by anything else but God finding me. I did not find him. I did not want to go to heaven. I didn't want to be a Christian. I was a pastor, but I didn't want to be a Christian. And I knew it. If anybody would ask me, are you a Christian? No. And so I always knew what I felt, thought, wanted. And I want everything to go my way. I was a hedonist. A hedonist was all pleasure, no pain. That's a hedonist. And so everybody's built that way. Everybody. There's not a person born here that wants to be like God. Nobody here wants to be like God. Everybody wants to be God.
Right. That's right.
They want to have rivalry with God. Hey, God, you're not boss of me. I'm gonna boss myself. And so the whole American dream is, hey, you can do it yourself. That's a silly dream. You can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So since you can do nothing, everything man does is nothing. And you have nothing doing nothing. Because you are nothing and have nothing. So how can you do anything? You cannot. And that's what this message is all about. It's all about the fact that he's going to send Yeshua, which is Joshua, which is Jesus. He's the only one that can do something because Moses sinned. And when you have one sin in you, you can't go to heaven. So how did he go to heaven on the day of transfiguration in the New Testament times with Jesus? There was Jesus, and there was Elijah, and there was Moses. So how did he get in? Through the gospel. He even prophesied this gospel. You're listening to me today under the law. I'm giving you the law. But listen to him, another guy at the end of time, talking now 1,500 years later. Jesus will be there. And then you just listen to him, whatever he says. So this is always God does everything without you. You don't do anything. Well, I did something. No, you didn't. You didn't do anything. We worked 8 hours a day, and it was hot, too hot. That was I was 8 hours we worked, and then we were going to get paid our denarius. But at the end of the day, you paid the first guy who only worked 1 hour. He didn't even work the heat of the day. That's our evil. That's wrong. That's bad. I'll bet we're going to get eight times that. Well, they were wrong, because nobody did any work that day. Did you know that only God can do all the work? Did you know that God is the only actor in the universe? There will never be another actor in the universe. Even in heaven, there'll never be another actor in the universe. It's always God. And you'll be married to God. So since you're married to God, you just do what he says. Did you know everybody in heaven, including all the angels that are up there, they always do what God wants? As soon as he wants it, boom, there it is. Because all he has to do is speak, and there it is. Let there be light. Psh, there was light. Let there be this, let there be that. And just God says, let there be, and it's over. He just thinks it. He probably doesn't even have to say it. He probably just thinks it, and it's there. But he's saying that for our sake, because we live here. And we know that it's hard to walk in the dark. Did you know that if you walk in the dark, you might fall into a ditch? If you walk, you know, toward the Grand Canyon, you just might fall down. Well, I didn't see that. It's too late. To the bottom you go. And so it's really hard to get up after that fall. Because it's so deep that even the mules have trouble getting back up. I mean, you have to have a mule to get back up. They don't have any ladders down there. Do you, anybody have a ladder? Yeah, it's a two-footer, but it'll get you started anyway. So you can't do it. Once you go down, you can't get up. Once, man, you start to sin, you can't stop. Did you know that? Once you start to sin, you can't stop. Adam and Eve started the whole thing off. Remember he said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat thereof, you shall what?
Surely die.
He didn't say, I'm going to kill you. He just said, you shall surely die. In other words, you went away from me. You got rid of your spirit. And the minute they did, their spirit went back to God. Because the spirits belong to God. He's going to judge every spirit in the world. Everyone. Everyone. Everyone who has a heart. He's going to know all the secrets of your heart. And he'll be able to judge you. It doesn't take him 2 seconds. All of those that didn't believe in Jesus, you stand over here on my left. All of you who believe in Jesus, you stand over here. A little bitty group over here. Just the remnant. Don't you have any more? No, that's it. Oh, my gosh. Pitiful. But God says, no, these are the ones that the pure grain. This is what I was looking for. This is the wheat. This is the salt. This is the light of the world. This is everything. So he's only working on his church today. And we're his church. Right? Yeah. Could you say amen?
Amen.
You're his church, not because you did anything. He did it all.
Yes.
He did it all. And you're going to read that in this chapter. So I'm going to read it now. And you listen to what I just said. Is he's the only actor. And where am I? Okay. And he's 120 today. And but he shall not go over this Jordan. He can't go over. You can't go over. But yet he makes it over because of grace. He's not under a law. He's the lawgiver, but he broke the law himself. How many know the lawgivers today break the law? The police break the law. The governors break the law. The president breaks the law. Everybody can break the law. It's not unusual. And if you were president, you'd break the law. Everybody, you know, you get in, and then all of a sudden you're tempted with all this power to use it for your advantage. And you know, love your neighbor as yourself, but you forget the neighbor. Once you get into the power, you're used to it. You don't want to give that up. And people, they don't even want to be a senator, but they like the pay, and they like the power that they have while they're a senator. And they come in, you know, just poor people saying, I'll be for the people and so on and so forth. And then when they end up, they're billionaires and millionaires. I mean, it's amazing. You just go into politics to make money because you're stealing all the people's money, taking away their liberties and privileges and immunities and powers and prerogatives and so on. Okay. It's okay. God knows. He knows. So he can settle that anytime he wants. How many know that he will have a church? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Her is the bride of Christ.
Hallelujah.
It would be, you're the body of Christ. So here in her. But you're now his bride. You're now his beloved. And so everything is going your way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day.
Hallelujah.
Everything's going my way. I mean, everything is going my way. Can you say that right now? Everything's going my way. It is. Everything is. You're in Dallas, Fort Worth. It's like heaven on earth. It's like, well, it's not like, but it almost looks like. How many know that Dan took me to a meeting the other day with a group of businessmen and so on and so forth, and I met with them. We had a hallelujah time. And they want to, you know, change the world for Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
They don't want to just change the world. They want to change the world for Jesus.
Amen.
They want to use all of their money to fund the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Well, we have many businessmen in Dallas right here that really are already millionaires and want to be billionaires, and they've dedicated their not only their lives for them, not only their families, but they've dedicated their business, their money. They want to say, let it all go for the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So people are thinking things that are in the Bible, but they actually could become real. They could become real. Not when you think about it, but when God puts that into your mind to do it. I'm going to do that. So you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. So a lot of young people were sleeping together in college in our church. And I taught them that, you know, you're doing what is evil. You're doing what's evil. You can't sleep together and do all this kind of stuff. Stop it. And so they say, well, how long do you have to wait? Well, at least a year. So you don't just start, you know, eating the goodies right away. You just wait for a year, and then you'll have character. They weren't sure about that. But one started to do it. I remember the first one that started to do it. Said, I'm going to do that. I just talked to my girlfriend. We decided not to be like that anymore. Then another one started to do it. Then another one, and then they all did. They started to do it. Then after a while, they got tired of my teaching. because I was ruining their lives. But they wanted to sin a little bit, just a little bit, you know, so they did. It's no problem. How many know I'm not in charge anyway? I've never been in charge of anything. I'm a complete zero. Are you in nothing?
Yes.
Apart from me, you can do nothing, because you are nothing, and you have nothing, and so you're nothing. He created you ex nihilo, Latin. It means out of nothing. So since he created you, in the beginning you weren't until God spoke. Then you were. And Adam and Eve were the first two that popped up, especially Adam. He was all alone counting animals. I don't like the giraffe. His neck is too long. I don't want to be married to a dog. He barks all the time. And I don't want to be a hippo. They're swimming all the time. They can chomp you up in a piece. I can't date these butterflies. They're flighty. And so he named all the animals, gave them a name. They didn't have a name, but he gave them the name, and God accepted that. That was his name, giraffe, you know, whatever it is. And so he said, but, you know, none of them, they're not right. And he said, okay. And so he put a deep sleep on him. He didn't do anything. God did it. He put a deep sleep on him, just like he did to Abraham. Put a deep sleep on him, and all of a sudden he created a woman. There she was. That's how the church got started. Abraham then, he did everything, God did everything in that, what they call a covenant. A covenant is based on a promise, but it's a one-sided unilateral. It's not a bilateral. Moses was bilateral. If you do this, you go to heaven. If you do that, you'll go to hell. You know, that was simple. But this is not an if then. This one is I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, seven, I will. Seven. Seven times he promised. And he said, I'll show you the land. I'll make a nation out of you. I'll do this and I'll do that. Anyone who curses you, I'll curse. Everyone that blesses you, I'll bless. All the families of the earth will be blessed, and so on and so forth. All those promises, you just have to count them. You count them and they realize, wow, this is perfect. Because a promise cannot be broken by God. So he took an oath. He raised his right hand, not this hand. This hand is for everybody. This hand is only for his church. This hand is only for his people. What used to be Israel, now they got canceled out because they lived under a law, not under grace. But now, he was a gracious God all that time. And he winked at whatever they did. You know, well, you're doing wrong, but I'm giving you another warning. Don't you do this again because I'll move my tent away from your tents. And they deliberately sinned, so he moved the tent. Let's get God at his own game. Let's sin, and then he'll get out his tent, and you can't visit him except Moses. Moses and Joshua, they can visit him all day long on our behalf. But they didn't quite have it right. But God didn't stop loving Israel.
Amen.
And Abraham will be there, Isaac will be there, Jacob will be there, you know, Joseph will be there, David will be there, Moses will be there. They'll all be there because they're believers in the gospel. And I've taught you in this book of Deuteronomy that when he gives the law to Israel, he's not giving the law. He's giving the spiritual law. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because it says so in the New Testament. John 5. Moses wrote of me. That's what it says. Moses wrote of me. You search the scriptures. You think that in them you have eternal life. But it is they that bear witness to me. So everything he wrote, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, was all about Jesus. And everything that follows that, all the prophets and all the wisdom, all of that comes out of those first five books. All of it. So it's all Mosaic under the law. So you can read Psalm 119 like David does so often, and you can realize it's the same as this law. And he's still talking about the law. But I've taught you here that it's impossible because Jesus said it in the New Testament. He doesn't lie. When he says he wrote of me, and if you believe his writings, you will believe my words right now. And the reason you don't is because you're of the father of the devil. You're listening to the devil. He's distracting you from hearing my words and believing them. And to this day, Israel is still in the dark. Darkness has filled their heart. I don't care what they do, how much they seem, you know, like they like good music and all that kind of stuff. It's not true. What is happening is they operating in vain. Man at his best state is altogether nothing. Vanity. Altogether vanity. So what I'm teaching you is mitzvah. Mi means my. My. Promise. Tzvah is the promise covenant. So when he made this thing, you know, the only thing that Abraham contributed was his snoring because he went into a deep sleep. And when he was in the deep sleep, he actually told him while he was in the deep sleep, oh, by the way, your people will be 400 years in bondage from a nation, and then afterward I'll judge that nation. Well, he was talking about Egypt. So you're going to be there 400 years. I won't explain how the 430 comes in there, but it's important. But the 430 counts from the day, and you don't know this. Nobody's ever written this, but I'm going to say it. I figured it out. It's easy. I just kept reading the Bible. I didn't read it to understand it. I just read it. But one day he showed me, when he was weaned at 5 years old, this baby, a baby can actually be weaned at 7 years old. A baby could stay a baby for a long time. And so in a lot of cultures, they don't have any food. They don't have any grocery stores. They don't have anything. But the mother is able to feed the baby. And that first 24 hours is critical to that baby. And so all of this stuff that we're doing now in medicine is not helping.
Uh-huh.
You see, all this stuff you think you can do is because you don't have a God. If you had a God, you'd just pray to God and he'd give you wisdom. You had a God, he'd tell you what to eat and what to eat. Don't eat food. Man shall not live by bread alone. You need bread. But don't be bread alone, but by every word, which is constantly, continually, present, active, indicative. Most real word in the whole Bible is present, active, indicative. all the other subjunctive and all those other moods. This one is powerful. It means he constantly is proceeding out of his mouth of God. You live by every word that constantly is proceeding out of the mouth of God. That's your eternal life. That's spiritual food. That's what you need more than bread. Bread will just make you fat. If you eat too much bread, you're just going to get fat. And besides, it's probably gluten and all that kind of stuff. By the way, it's probably all nonsense. Because if God made it, it's good. If God made it, it's natural, it's good. And so you can build up your immune system. We don't eat tomatoes that taste like tomatoes anymore. They're brought for shelf life. They buy them in some place and they're picked when they're green. And then they have to, you know, change the color and so on so they look like the real thing. But they're hard. So you have to test everything to see whether it's natural. But I grew up out in the country, and when I grew up, we raised our own food. And tomatoes tasted like tomatoes. And, you know, everything tasted raw, and it was powerful. So I've never been to a doctor. I don't go to doctors. I just don't. Why? Because I grew up in the country. And water tasted like water. But it's like if you go up to, it's a little town north of where we live in Fort Worth. And there the water tastes just like I did when I was home because of the soil. We had soil up in Illinois, and that soil was a 75-foot hand-dug, you know, pump. And you had to pour the water down the suckers, and then they would, the water gush out like that. And we kids liked pumping it because it just pumped and, you know, just kept going. Once it gets going, it just doesn't stop. But you have to prime the pump. And that's the way you do it. Anyway, so I grew up knowing that onions are onions and everything. I want to taste it like it's really an onion. So it's funny. Don't you find life is funny?
Yeah.
It's also that you turn to God. Everything he's doing is turn to God.
Yeah.
If you just have God in your heart, it's over. Who does that? God. Who makes you justified? God. Who makes you sanctified? God. Who makes you glorified? God. Who does everything? God. Now, you have to get used to this, that you in heaven will not be a god. On earth, they're called gods. They're just King David was called a god. Okay. But you're in heaven, they don't call you that. They just called you humble. Humble servant number 4. No, they didn't do that. It's all going to work because whatever God is thinking, you're thinking. I mean, whatever he says, that's it. That's his, whatever he thinks, that's the way it is. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm having fun down here because I don't have to think anymore.
Hallelujah.
I just read the Bible. Whatever the Bible says, that's the way it is. I don't even understand it, but he'll make that clear to me. And if anything that he's revealed is yours. You're responsible for whatever he reveals. So if I say to Peggy every day, and I do, Peggy, you're the best. I am so blessed to be married to you. Unbelievably blessed. I married way over my head, but I love it. You're the best wife. I couldn't have a better one. I used to say it as a joke. I used to say, you're the best wife I've ever had. But that was a joke. Because that was the only one I had. So, but then I said, that's not in the Bible. So I read this word. As Christ loved the church, let Raul love his wife as Christ loved the church. And it's working, right?
Yeah.
Isn't she happy? Say, I'm happy. Cynthia, say, I'm happy. Why, you're married to the perfect man. But of course, he doesn't look perfect. You don't have to have him look perfect because we don't go by sight. So everything is invisible for us. We're the only church is not visible. The Catholic Church is visible. The Jewish Church is visible. Everything is visible. Outward, you know, rituals and things. You can see them. But what you can see is not real. What you can't see is real. God himself. So the only thing that's real in the universe is God in heaven above even the natural heavens. And the natural heavens, they'll be gone. They're not going to last forever. They'll only last for a temporal time.
Praise the Lord.
Then as soon as that's over, it's over. And so that's all you have. So you don't want to die as a baby because you didn't even get your life. And so you have to pray for babies.
Amen.
You have to pray. but then the elderly die off, you know, and then you have all the wisdom going because they had wisdom and said, don't do what I did. That's their wisdom, is don't follow me. But some die in the faith. When they do, they're happy. And the Lord God, he will go over before you. See this? All by himself. And the Lord God, he will go over before you, and he will destroy what? He will destroy what? These nations from before you. And you shall possess them. And Joshua, Jesus, he shall go over before you as the Lord hath said. So did you know that there's no difference between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? They're all God. They're all God. Mm-hmm. So there's no difference. God is greater than Jesus. No, he's not. Jesus is eternal. The God's eternal. The Holy Spirit's eternal. Because it's their spirit. And so that's true, and it's always been true, and it'll always be true. And you might think, we'll kill that idea. That's a lot of people are thinking today. It's anti-Christian time. Anti-Christian time is anyone's a Christian has to go. Has to be just done in. It won't happen, by the way. Just like Israel won't disappear, you won't disappear. Just like the pagans, they won't disappear either. They're still going to be there. Even though he wipes them all out, there'll still be some left.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. That's what he's doing right today. He's making sure that nobody has any confidence in themselves. You can't be proud and make it. You'd have to be humble. And the only way he can be humble is if God humbles you. You cannot humble yourself. God, I want to be humble today. That's funny. I'm going to be humble from now on. I'm going to serve you from now on. That person won't be in church the next week. And I promise, I swear, and, you know, Raul didn't say that. He's the only one that stayed. Thank you. He stayed. But the others get up and say, boy, this has changed my life. I'm changed forever. And the next week, they're gone. You can't even say. They don't even show up 1 week later. Isn't that funny? That's because I might have been tempted to think, hey, if you get them saved, they'll stay saved. So I'm not tempted by that. When they're gone the next week. Because they're going to sin again and not understand it. I've come a Christian. I made a vow that I wouldn't, and now I did. What happened? And they don't understand. I'm telling you the truth right here. Christians sin. Christians. Real Christians. They sin. Yes. As a matter of fact, if you don't sin, you're not growing. You're going to sin. So yesterday, you were humble. And today, you're proud that you were humble yesterday. And now, you're still proud. So you can't get rid of it. I'm impatient, and I'm impatient about impatience. And I want it to happen right now. I mean, no, everybody wants it now. It has to be done now. So we prayed today to God. We said, it's now. We didn't let him off the hook.
Right.
How many know that? Every once in a while, he'll come through on you. Every once in a while. But I'll tell you what, it's not a steady diet. It's not a steady diet. For all these people that say, you come here and the glory spout is open today and you're going to get the glory. And somebody gets it. But then there's three other wheelchairs that didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, if you notice that, you just with your eyes, you have to notice, hey, here are these three people. I guess they didn't have any faith. I guess they were not faithful. Uh-uh. They had faith too, but it isn't their work. It's actually God's work. Amen. And when God wants to do it, he'll do it. He knows. There's a reason why you go through things. He learned obedience through what he suffered. He learned obedience through what he suffered. Thank God for suffering. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. David agrees with me. Does anyone agree?
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, the only way you're going to learn the gospel, the good news, is to have some bad news. So that the good news is really good.
Oh, yes.
But if you have only bad news all the time, you'd be discouraged. But every once in a while, he comes through. God, it's about time. He said, well, I didn't get around to it. Well, where are your round to it? I'd like to have a round to it like that. So he's handing out round to it. This is a round to it. It says it on the end of it, you know. But it's round. And so I got around to it. No, it's because you weren't ready. If you were ready, he'd do it. Do you know someday he's coming back and you'll be ready?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You will be ready. Why? Because he promised, not you promised. He promised, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. He said that on the cross, tetelestai. That's the Greek word, tete, meaning future. I will do it in the future. So since he said that, then he said it's finished. It's over. It's over in heaven, but it's not over on earth. You see what I'm saying? He didn't explain that. He did not explain things that he wanted to keep secret. Because he knew it's not going to do him any good. I don't need to explain everything. Authority is something that's said to you and immediately you do what it says. Without hesitation. You just do it because it's God. Okay? Authority is not explaining what you just said. That's justifying what you just said. Well, the reason I did that was because. No. I never raised my children that way. I just said, do it. That's it. But I didn't say it like that. I just said, do it. And they went and did it. And if they didn't, spanking. What? Well, you rolled your eyes. No, I didn't. I was like this. I wasn't like this. I didn't do it like that. And they're trying to negotiate. So the spanking, because they have the spanking stick in their hands. And they don't want the wisdom on the one side. They don't want their wisdom. And they don't want the love on the other side because they don't see it when you're going to spank them. And so I always spanked them. And if you do it, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old. He will not depart from it. So all my kids are in order. All of them. All of them. That's amazing. Wow, it doesn't mean they're perfect, because we're not looking for perfection. Perfection's in the world to come. But you can have a perfect faith when God gives that to you. Did you know that the third thing he does in your atonement, first he forgives all your sin because he died on the cross. Second all, and you didn't have anything to do with that, for sure. But the second thing is, then he lives in you by the Holy Spirit. And he says, now be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he adds this, and with fire.
Amen.
That's the suffering part. Because it takes fire to get rid of all the sin in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, a crisis. You have to have a crisis for people to convert.
Yeah, it's true.
America right now, even pagans are saying, even pagans who read it and say, I think that's in the Bible. These are pagans. They're not even Christians. They're pagans.
Yeah.
And they're members of our church that used to be churchgoers. But now they're saying, hey, it looks like the Bible's coming to pass. Especially that book of Revelation thing.
Yeah.
Anarchists and, you know, whatever and so on and so forth. There are people that are saying that. And they're returning to the Lord because they realize, whoa, we're ready. We're ready for Jesus.
Amen.
Well, you weren't yesterday. I am today. I'm ready.
Jesus.
He's been a crisis and I can't overcome it. I can't do anything. I need God.
Amen.
A crisis is America's way. America never operates except a crisis. World War II, World War I, anything. It has to be a crisis. And then finally, we'll start to do things and so on. And so we need a crisis. Well, you have one now. And this is just the beginning of sorrows. This is only the beginning. You think this is tough? Wait till they're riding on horses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, walking with somebody is different. Now, this one is horses. They can out gallop you. And you're trying to run against a horse. You can't. And a horse can run really fast. But they're not like a leopard. They're really fast. And so on and so forth. So, you see, people are totally ignorant today. Totally ignorant. This Bible is no longer read by everybody every day. But it used to be. It used to be, in America, everyone read every day. In their log cabin, Lincoln, you know, all this. It's read by that. And they can read it. And then he would write the fireplace. He'd read this thing. And
amen.
He did. And he said, this Bible is the only thing that makes the presidency work. If you get rid of this, you've gotten rid of everything. So that's why he said, of the people, by the people, for the people, and all that. He said all of that because he read it when he was young. Because his parents read it to him or told him to read it for himself. People used to be self-taught. And the Lord your God will go over before you, not with you. Be over before you. I'll be with the people, but I won't be with you, Moses, because you're going to be in your grave. And he will destroy these nations before you, and you shall possess them. And Yeshua, God, Jesus, he will go before you as the Lord hath said. And And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and to all the land whom he has destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, he's talking about the people, that you may do unto them according to all the commandments which I commanded you to this day. That's mitzvah, which means promise. I'm guaranteed that it means promise. It's not, I'm guessing. No, the tzava, all by itself, even tzav, T-S-A-V, it all means the same thing, promise. Old Testament, New Testament. Absolutely can prove it to you. I can show you, if you substitute the word promise, then the commandment goes away. Do you know what? Jesus already eliminated it. Mm-hmm. When he cursed that fig tree, your house is desolate. You're not God's people anymore. I'm going to give it to the Gentiles. Wow! And they couldn't believe it. In the new believers like Peter and James and so on, they said, even the pagans can get in this way? Just by faith? Well, yeah, that's what Abraham started. That thing of faith. Faith means not seen. I want you to understand that. Faith means you can't see it. We're the only religion in the world that you cannot see anything that it's talking about. You can't see Jesus. You can't see the Father. You can't see the Holy Spirit. You can't see the church. He's not building a church. He's building you. He's not building a church. He's building you. And you can't see that because it's inside of you. Because the kingdom of God is within you. It's not without you. You can't see anything that it's talking about. All you can see is the evidence that fruit was there because there's evidence. So now you have the salvation, make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. Make the tree corrupt, and the fruit will be corrupt. So it's the tree. Who is the tree? Jesus is the tree of life. Eternal life, Zoe. Eternal life, not bios. So everybody here is in great shape today, whether you feel like it or not. Say it, I'm happy.
Happy. I'm happy.
I'm very happy. I'm exceedingly happy. Or you can say, yee-haw! Woo-hoo! Glory! And so, because if you're happy, you're happy. But you don't have to feel it to believe it. That's just evidence. That's just evidence. That just means, and you can't tell a hypocrite because a hypocrite might shout too. Little kids will shout. If you shout, they'll shout. Yahoo! So on the day of Palm Sunday, all the little kids, yay, Hosanna to the Son of the Day. They don't know what they're talking about, but they're just, yay, because there's somebody waving leaves and stuff. Yeah, give me one of those, you know. And they want to do it because they're excited. But they don't understand anything. Little kids are ignorant. You know what? They're doing the right thing. God says, even these little children, except you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. So you have to be like a little child. You have to be pretend like you're 1.5 or maybe 2 years old. Just pretend like you're a 2-year-old and you're just doing whatever the Father says, I'll do it. Whatever the Son says, I'll do it. I'll learn His language. I'll learn His language. I'll learn His smile. I'll learn His gestures. I'll learn everything about Him. So they can even put their mouth up a little, their smile with their this way, and they can do whatever the parent does. The child's going to do it. If you say Yahoo, they'll say Yahoo. And so our little granddaughter, she is now saying all kinds of words. She learns a word and she wants to know more words because she realizes instead of grunting, it's better. And so if you say milk, it's better.
Right.
She'd get the words, and then she's like naming all the animals to see which one works. I like the word no. No.
Yeah.
No. And they put their little like this. No. No. You're going to bed right now, I'm going to spank you. No. They get softer as they move a little bit away because they're not sure if you're going to spank them or not. So I always go get the stick. We're going to spank you. No. What do I say? And they'll say what you want to say. Say please. Just say please. Little kids don't want to say please. Just want it. They want to do what they want to do. My grandson, he's now what? How old is he? 7 or 8?
Eight.
Okay. When he was little, he was griping and complaining, and so he has 5 older sisters. So they said, you're just such a griper.
Why?
Whiner.
What did he say?
Whiner.
Whiner. You're just such a whiner. He didn't even know what that meant, but he was whining. And he said, well, I want to whine. In other words, he knew what I want to do. You're telling me not to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Little kids don't like that. You loved me unconditionally up until now. Why are you now making rules for me? I don't like rules. You can't go out and play unless you clean your room. And so David's room was this deep with all basketballs and everything he had, signs, stop signs. He had everything in his room. And you couldn't even see the floor. And I'd say, David, clean the room. And so what he would do by cleaning was push some of these things toward the bed and some of over the toy box and so on and so forth. And then, okay, why are you going out? I'd clean my room. I went back and looked at it. It's a mess. He just smooshed it, moved it. That's wrong. You can't play. Mom, could you do it for me? And Mom always, she's great. Mom's great. She's merciful. She's kind. She's always cooking for them, going to Six Flags, going everywhere they want to go and spoiling them. And Dad, they want to play baseball with you. I don't want to. I don't want to. I always say, I don't want to. But then I went ahead and did it. Because they say, Dad, don't forget Jesus loved you unconditionally. You love me that way, don't you? Yes. Well, then I'm going to Six Flags. Anyway, kids are tricky. Aren't they tricky?
Yeah.
Well, these are the children of Israel. And the Lord, verse 5, shall give them up before your face that you may do unto them all the commandments I've commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. You know why? Because they're going to be afraid when they see the giants. They're going to be afraid when they see, wow, these people live differently. Rather than the desert group we've been, little tense things, this is like they have houses. They have olive trees, and they have wells, and they have everything. They're civilized. And my speech shall distill as the dew and the small rain upon the... Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. When you get old, you can't even do these pages. There you go. All right. It shall not fail thee nor forsake thee. Did you know God will never fail you or forsake you? He can't.
Amen.
I won't. I will love you to the end. There's no way that a good parent, and God is a good parent, he is a good parent, he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you.
Praise
wow.
Lord.
That means if he has eternal life, you'll have it. If he reigns over death, you'll reign over death. If he can do a good work, you can do a good work. Everything that Jesus can do, you can do. Because you're like him, but you're not him. You're like him, but you're not him. So you always recognize you're inferior, he is superior. He is your sovereign. Sovereign means always, when the word sovereign is used, that means absolute sovereign. You're not just sovereign. There's nobody above you. That's what sovereign means. Whereas supreme just means greater than you. But when you say sovereign, that means they're sovereign over everything he created. So everything God created is subject to him. He can change anything he wants at any time. He reserves to him the right, the royal prerogative right, like a king, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But someday his son will come back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Holy Spirit is too. So they all do what the Father says. If the Father says something, the Son says the same thing. And then someday you'll say what Jesus says that the Father said by the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Wow, a lot of people don't want the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. He's essential. He's not secondary. You need the Holy Spirit where you're not thinking for yourself. You're just hearing God and doing whatever he says. And you don't have to give any thinking. It makes your life so easy because you don't have to think anymore. You just do whatever Jesus said. If he says don't, don't. If he says do, do. It's so simple. So you have to go against yourself. You have to make war on yourself. Self, you're no longer a self. You are now a self under authority. You're a self under God's Holy Spirit. You are a self that is spiritual. You're no longer you. Oh, man, I used to be me. That was the only thing I had was me. Now me is gone. Poo. It's gone. I don't get to do what me wants to do. That is called selfish. So how many here are selfish? Don't raise your hand. Because it's just a rhetorical question. The answer is none of you. None of you are selfish. Today you're all loving your neighbor as yourself. The way you want to be loved, you love them. The way you wish other people would love you, love them the same way. Love your neighbor as yourself. You love yourself, love the neighbor as yourself. You want everything to go your way? Do it for them that goes their way. Right. What does that mean? That means you better hear the Holy Spirit, because he might not say, give them your house. He might say, give them your tie. So you need to hear the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So you can't just be immature. You have to be mature, because little kids get words mixed up. I remember Cara, her first word out of her mouth that was funny was, look, Ma, they have a free ager like us. So she actually heard the word refrigerator, but she could only say freator. They have one just like we do. You know, and that was exciting for her because she knew the word freager. So they get things mixed up because they're not mature, because they still have sin in them. Until every sin is removed, you will not go to heaven. I want a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any stain, without any blemish, without any iniquity, without anything blameable. I want an unblameable wife. And he's going to examine you when you come to heaven. And when you come to heaven, that's because he has just received Israel's priests after he's destroyed Israel with vengeance. Why? What is vengeful about Israel? Because he's cleansing her. It's this. The yoke of bondage. You left Egypt, but Egypt is still in you. You still want to be God. You still want to be in charge. You still want to be Pharaoh. So he wants to get rid of that Pharaoh-ness in you. I want everything to go the way I want it. It's not going to go your way. Have you ever tried that? It doesn't go when you want. You're not God. You can't make it to go the way you want to. Well, I'm going to try. At least I tried. You didn't even try. No, it doesn't. It's nothing. Trying is not in the Bible. There's nothing that says try to do the first commandment. There's just nothing like that. Try to do a tenth commandment. You can't do it. So you are all the things that says do not be. Do not be. That's you. If you are just natural, it's licentious. It's not good. Whatever you do is not good. So God wants good to prevail. He wants right to prevail, truth to prevail, justice to prevail, and all of the evil and all of the wrong and all of the false and all of the injustice has to go away. Did you know that you can do that with God's help? But it's not just his help. It's him doing it for you, in you, through you. You don't just, God, could you help me a little bit? No, he's not going to help you a little bit. He's going to do it all.
Yeah, amen.
What's left for me? Nothing. Because you can't do anything because you still have a sin in you. What? That little sin? That's not a big sin. How many people today minimize your sins? You say, well, I've always been that way. My grandmother was like that too. You know, you make excuses for your sins, making provision for the flesh. Right? So you don't say, the reason I did it because I wanted to. Now, that's the truth. You just told the truth. The reason I did it, I wanted to. Who pinched your sister? Why is she crying? I don't know, they'll say. They always say that. I don't know. I didn't do it. And they're only two, so they don't like being pinched by you. But you see a little kid, you just want to pinch their little cheeks, and you just want to pinch them, and that hurts them sometimes. So they start crying. What did you do? I didn't do anything. I just was looking at her. But did you put your hand like that and pinch like that? No. And they'll lie to you because they don't want the spanking. Yeah. They. But if you just say, now tell the truth or I'm going to give you two spankings. Okay. I pinched a little bit. But it wasn't like she said. It wasn't like that. It was just like this. Little kids are liars. Did you know, let God be true and every man a liar? Yeah. Little kids start out lying right away. They start out lying because they don't want the spanking. They don't want you to be angry at them. And they think you're going to throw them away or divorce or something. Little kids are sensitive. They are 100% sensitive. And they don't have the words, but they know something's wrong. And they know it. Can't articulate it. All right. I think I've made my point here today that God, Yeshua, is actually Jesus, and so Jesus is the only one that could fight the devil. So he was the warrior. He's the one that conquered the land. And when he came, they always won because God made them always win until that one trickster came in. But then once they made it, they made it. Because you can't mess with the law that way. If you make it and it's wrong, it's wrong. And so even the governor can be wrong. Even the mayor can be wrong. Even the city council can be wrong. They can all be wrong. Why? Because you're wrong. We're all wrong. And you'll always be wrong until you meet Jesus. And when Jesus starts to go it, he'll start removing it from your soul, and then he'll remove it from your walk, and then he moves it on, and then... And when it all over, he said, don't just trust me on this. I will surely complete it. I'm not going to need your help. Don't do it. So, simul justus et peccator. You're at the same time a saint, Justus, and a sinner, et sinner. So, the et peccator is what I used to live by, but now today I live by Justus. I don't live by that anymore. Why? Because God showed me that was a wrong way and it didn't lead to happiness. I got my way, but when I got my way, it didn't work out. For some reason, God, you know, had his foot on that or his finger on that or his thumb on that. Well, you got this, but I took it away. What'd you do with it? Could I have that back? That was mine. Meum et tuum. That was the medieval thing. It's either mine or yours. Don't take what somebody else's, right? So you know that, but people today are lawless. They're lawless. And they're breaking all the laws deliberately. And they're not even ashamed of it. Because George Soros has put up $5 billion to buy lawyers. And they all get out the next day. They don't even stay in the jail. They just get out the next day. They're on the street again, murdering again, killing again. Knifing people again, hatcheting people again. It's not, don't think that's unusual. That's because the church is not the church. That is not because of the world. The world is totally following the light of the church. Where's the light? If you're lukewarm, they don't see any light. But you can individually, without the church, on your own, live a godly life. Start with Karen.
Yep.
It works. It works. Even Dan is improving. A little bit. But it'll happen. You know why? Because you're praying for them every day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Every day, right. And so it's powerful. You actually can be one person under God, under authority, and you can accomplish incredible things for just a city, for just a nation. Anyone.
Yes.
And so I can tell you the history of mankind is the history of people interceding for others. That is what they're doing. And when you do that, God is glorified. God is glorified when you start to love your neighbor. It's the end of the law. The whole law is fulfilled by your loving your neighbor. It's not, you won't go to heaven if you don't love your neighbor. That's the one thing. You've got to love the neighbor. Israel worshiped God hypocritically, with lips without heart. But then they didn't love the neighbor because of that. And since they didn't love the neighbor, because they weren't even loving themselves by loving God. But when you love God, you're going to love the neighbor. And if you don't, there's something wrong. Right? And so adultery is wrong. Anger is wrong. Bitterness is wrong. Pride is gone. Self, it has to go. That's why he had to do it on his own, because he's the only one that born you again so that you do good. You're born again so that you do the good. I don't care if you do it in the flesh. I don't care if you do it in the spirit. It doesn't make any difference. Just do it. And after a while, it will become a habit at least. But and God will judge that. And he knows this one is genuine. This one was not. Okay, he's the only judge. I'm not the judge. I can't judge anybody who does anything. Because I either thought about it or did it when I was young. But I didn't do a lot of things. I didn't do anything sexual. I didn't do anything like that. None of that. I didn't do drugs. I didn't do any of that. Because I knew, hey, you want to go to jail or you want to lose your freedom or whatever? Or do you want that, you know, person to do something wrong or whatever? I didn't do it. But I didn't do it not because of Jesus. I didn't do it because it just seemed, that's stupid to do that. I'm not going to be happy because I do that. I'll do it in the dark when you can't see me. But today I do everything in the light. Why? Because everything's going to come out in the light. And you're the light of the world. Amen. There's no light without the church. So you can't shut down the church. It's been done. It's forgivable. We can forgive people. And not even call it to their attention. It's just they did wrong. But if that ever happens again, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's a lie. I have doctors that I know. They tell me there's nothing to this. They leave it alone, it'd be the same as every other year.
Right.
The same people would die. They're on television, I know them personally, and they are experts in their field. And they know this is not necessary.
Right.
To shut down the economy, the whole economy, people's life savings went into a little business they had and then they lost the business, that's wrong. And the government has to know that. That's stupid. If you don't have an economy, you don't have anything. You need a. Did you know that that's God's economy?
Amen.
Your economy is God's economy. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. It's in the Bible. When he says our, he means this is his economy, that it's a gift of God. Economy doesn't come from man. It comes from God. And so when God gives you something, he gives you a skill or, you know, something you can do. And what you do then is a gift. And then he loses when you lose. He's not glorified when you didn't get the economy going. So now if you don't have the economy, you don't have anything. You can't even go to the bank. Your bank won't even let you in the front door.
Yeah.
You can't do anything. I can't go in and ask questions and so on. I mean, I want to walk through five people in the outer thing. You're driving through that thing and so on and so forth. Hey, is this all insured by FDIC? And that's kind of an intimate question I wanted to ask them. Now, are each of my accounts separate, or is it just one?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to have too much money in there and overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, I just want to know that. But I'm not going to ask that now. But I can do it when it's all open. You can just ask them, well, what is it? I've already been told, because I did yell it the other day. Is this insured on each of my accounts? When I only have $1 or $1,000, is it covered?
I can't hear you.
And now you can speak on that little thing. Speak on it. It's all covered. Wow. Yay! That's too powerful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Only God is the actor. You're not an actor. Just get that through your skull. You're just a like God person. You're not a God person.
Amen.
He'd be a rival in heaven. We'd always been duking it out with him. That's why he kicked out 1/3 of the angels. 1/3 of them are gone.
I don't want to do that.
So the same thing, the remnant will be that 1/3. When he treats Israel, he's going to treat Israel with vengeance. Why? Because of that yoke of bondage. Once that's gone, he's cleansed her. And now only the priests can share that with the 12 tribes of Israel. So they'll go back and renew the 12 tribes of Israel. And they'll have their land on the earth just like they want it. So some Israelis do not want heaven. They do not want to be with God in heaven on the throne. They don't. If you ask them, no, the only one is the land that he promised. Give us the land. Well, they'll have their land, but some of them won't make it because they didn't want heaven. But Jesus is heaven. And if you skip Jesus, you've skipped heaven. If you dishonor the Son, you've dishonored the Father. You're not going to get heaven. So everything is dying so that you can just know Jesus as your only life. He's your only husband. He's your only everything. So, everything is Jesus. And so he's my whole life. I don't have two agendas. I don't have my life, my family, my wife. I don't have that. I just have Jesus, and then he freely gives me everything. Then I get my wife and my children, my grandchildren, and so on and so forth, and your neighbors, and so on and so forth. So he's doing that, and I'll get favor without even looking for it. I'll get it just because I love Jesus. And you just get it, and only God knows that. He knows your address. He knows where you are, and he can make a way when there's no way. And all of a sudden, you meet people that you never expected to meet. And all of a sudden, the problem is over. You don't have a problem. You thought you had a problem, but you don't have a problem. The only problem you had is your sin. But Jesus takes care of the sin, so you don't have any problems. Now, there are no problems. Who wanted to make a testimony? There are no problems in my life. Pastor Jim, there are no problems in my life. I have Jesus. Nope. Karen.
Hallelujah. In my life.
Amen.
Amen. Who else? Lynn. Yes.
I have no problems.
No problems. You have Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus takes care of all your problems.
Amen.
No problems.
No problem in the world.
None. Dan.
No problem. Amen.
Peggy.
No problem.
Yeah, it looks like there are problems, but they're not. Alex.
None.
None.
No problems.
No problems.
No problems.
I'm happy all the time.
Only Jesus.
Only Jesus.
He's no problem. No problem.
Bless.
Okay, so we don't have any problems. That's by faith. You don't have to see it to believe it. You just say it. But God counts it, and he knows whether it's genuine or not.
Yeah.
So he knows. It isn't like he doesn't know. So you can be a hypocrite. That doesn't make anything to Jesus. He still loves you, and he's not going to stop loving you until you become a Christian. And he knows Jesus is the only real thing in the whole universe except God the Father and God the Son, and they're just like Jesus. They're all one. They're all a boule, which means a council. And they're the only council, and they always agree. The Father says it, the Son says it, the Holy Spirit says it. They all work together. Now, they work in different ways. So three persons, but different than unity. Their unity is that we believe whatever the Jews believe. He's one. Yeah, he is one by agreeing. But your ones are not. You have yourself as an idol. That's not going to work. Idols don't work with that one. If God is God, serve God and stop serving Baal. Mm-hmm. Baal is the only other religion in the whole world.
Amen.
Confucianists, all of those people, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, mm-hmm. They're all under a law and nothing's made perfect. So they cannot go to heaven because perfection is you. You need to be perfected by his love. And his love will work that perfection in you because when God gives you something, he gives you himself. He's not giving you perfection. He's giving you himself is perfection.
Amen.
That he's your only God.
Praise the Lord.
And someday, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean they're Christian. It just simply means they acknowledge he is the Lord. When they see the great white throne set up, when they see Jesus on a white horse, when they see the host of heaven behind him, when they see all of that, they know, I don't think Buddhism is going to work. I think I better do something really quick. How much time do I have? None. No, give me another chance. Now, if they did, God would actually notice that. Did you know that? If somebody said, I would have been a Christian, but I wasn't. I was raised in India. I was raised in China. I was raised, whatever. And he'll give me a chance. He loves everybody. I don't care. He'll wait. He'll say, no, wait. I got something else that's good. I think this person's repenting right now. Because he knows. And he says, yeah, you're in. Go to the right. And he'll see someone in the right say, hey, you don't belong there. You get over here. Someone in the other camp say, no, you belong because you're a righteous person. I am. I didn't do anything. That's all right. I did it for you.
Like the guy on the cross.
Yeah, exactly.
Take me.
Good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So
didn't even get back.
I like to read this Old Testament because it's the surest proof. You have to do this. You don't know this about medieval teaching. Medieval teaching was always divided if you were a writer, a doctor, a lawyer. It's always divided into six parts. And I won't name them. But these six parts, one of them is that then you have to have the objections. That's number five. And then you overcome them through your conclusion. So the objections is somebody says, well, I think you can be a little bit proud. No, you can't be any proud at all of yourself. If you're not talking about yourself, you can be proud of God. You can boast on God. But let's say they said that. Well, God can read their heart, and he knows all the secrets. He's always known that from the foundation of the world. That's why he was slain. He was slain. Jesus, I don't need you now. It'll be four days later. A day with the Lord is 4,000 years. So the week is actually times a week. How many days in a week?
Seven.
So 10 times 1,000. When he says 1,000, he's talking about a day. He's talking about the day of the week. And every founding father in 1st century, 2nd century, 3rd century, even into the 4th century, believed it was only 7,000 years the world would be over. You're in the 7,000th year now. So it's going to be early in the morning that he rises from the dead, that he'll come back. That means you're in the time zone, you're in the season for him to judge Israel, get her cleansed so she'll be clean. And then it'll all be renewed. And by the time it's over, time is up. Time is up. So everything is working for your favor. It's so simple. It's not complicated. God always wins. Everyone else always loses.
Amen.
Unless you're connected with God. Then you win.
Amen.
And then you win without a... You don't even have to be in the race. Jesus wins the race, you won the race. Jesus is doing it, you did it. Jesus is saying it, you said it. But you can say it out loud to yourself because that builds your faith. Well, I'm going to say that. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I can say that. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm completely happy. I'm 100% happy. And you have the perfect wife. Oh yeah, Peyton, you're perfect. Wow. You can say that. It'll build your faith up.
Yes.
So why we come together like this on the Lord's Day, there's no law, by the way. Saturday is not Sabbath. It's for the Jews, but it didn't work because they were under a law. But if they get under the gospel, if they're messianic, then they already are happy. They're already happy. And there are many people in Israel today, more than ever before in the whole 19 centuries that have led up to their 1947, 1948 birth. And so there are more now Jewish people living in Israel, and they're Sabras, that means they're born in the land, that believe in Yeshua HaMashiach. That's powerful. If that's true, wow, the world better take note of that, because they are not going to perish. They are going to live forever and ever and ever, world without end. No beginning, no ending. Melchizedek. So God, I like to read this Bible because it's good news every day.
Amen.
I've never found any bad news in the whole Bible. There's no bad news. It's all on my behalf. He does everything on my behalf, in my stead, for my benefit, for my blessing, for my everything. He gives me everything that he has. He doesn't withhold anything. Jim, you're going to be in my family. Well, that's good. Am I born again? Born from above? Yeah. And then you're gonna be adopted when you're mature. You're not mature right now, but when you're mature, how old do I have to be? 21, you know, whatever. And then when you're mature, then you get married. But that means all the sin out. It's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. And then you're gonna marry me. You're gonna be my wife. You'll be my wife. The queen, she'll be the queen. You'll be the king, you'll be the queen. Yeah, because if I'm the king, she'll be the queen. Wow. And you'll be part of that. I am? I'm part of that. So that's pretty soon. Because did you know that you're going to be a priest-king just like Jesus? First fruits, priest-king. So since you're going to be just like Jesus, you'll be a priest that can forgive anybody and bless anybody. And then you'll also be a servant. Because the first thing you want to do is worship God. The second thing you want to serve your neighbor. Worship God, I'm free. Serve my servant, I'm bound. One, I'm free. The next one, I'm bound. I'm bound to do it because God made me that way. And he said, you're a new creation. You can do it. Well, I can, but I'd have to do it by faith. Yeah, for a little while, and then you'll see it. Oh, when's that going to be? Later. You always postpone it. Couldn't it be today? Couldn't we have heaven on earth today? Yes, you and I. Oh, just in worship? Okay, worship me with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, by faith. And someday you'll see it. And that's why I'm a Christian today, because I believe he started this in eternity. In my case. In my case. I know he started this in eternity. But one day it showed up in life, and that day I knew that Jesus, that God was God. First time I loved him. It's the first time it entered into my heart. Then the next day, when I was at Yale, I remember also that he visited me there. And so I knew that I knew that I knew in eternity. So I knew that moment. Then I knew earlier when I was at Yale, and he actually showed up at the window, but I couldn't see him. And obviously now I know why, because he's invisible. But I couldn't see him. I thought he had a ladder, because I heard an out loud voice in the seventh row back, right on the aisle. He could have had three things, some on this aisle, some on this aisle, and then one in the middle. And I was in the middle one, on the aisle. And then I wasn't listening that day, but he spoke to me, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Well, that was my favorite philosophical verse, because I had two philosophy degrees and all that kind of stuff. And I had art degrees and so on. And now, all of a sudden, he's making himself known and that he's talking about my vanities. And I knew it was true. Everything about me was vain. Everything about me was proud. Everything about me was arrogant. Everything about me was, you know, I don't have a worry in the world. I'm at Yale. You know, I'm right where I belong. So I skipped Harvard. I skipped, you know, New York. I skipped Aberdeen, Scotland. I skipped, you know, Scotland thing. I didn't want to live in a turret with snow on the ground. And so I skipped all those places. I'd been to all those places. And so I knew what Heidelberg looked like and so on. And I had scholarships from them. And so I had five, you know, major scholarships. I could go anywhere I wanted. But I cheated to get to that place. So I really needed a relationship with God, especially if I'm going to become a pastor. So that second one made me go outside in the snow, kneel down in the snow and say, what do pastors do? They write a paper once a week. That was my understanding, because I had head knowledge. Yeah, they have to do that paper. Well, you write a paper once a week, so it's not a big deal. Okay, I'll be a pastor. That's how I became a pastor. I knew from then on I'm going to be a pastor. I'm not going to be a teacher or philosophy or art or anything. I'm going to skip all that. I'm not going to be me anymore. And so then, when it happened here, that I knew that I knew that I knew in Scottsdale, Arizona, I knew right then, wow, this was from the foundation of the world. I didn't even know about that. Then it happened there at Yale, and now it's happening here at this retreat center. And the 13 women that lived there, they were all the Sisters of Mary. And they were dressed up with cream-colored gowns, and they looked like nuns. Because I won't explain why, but they did. But they were like nuns. But they every day confessed their sin. And Julia's uncle was the pastor of those ladies. Huh. And I didn't know that, but we went to his church on Sunday.
Wow.
He was the church we went to. And so that was cool. And then they said, we have three people in America, and you're one of them. But then this guy is one of them, and this other guy in California is one of them. So I knew there was three of us. And those are the only three that they were close to that knew we were Christian. So I remember Sister Josepha telling her the next day, I think I'm a Christian now because I repented my sins last night and so on and so forth. He said, good. It's good. But I knew she really didn't understand what I just said. I mean, I'm a pastor, but I'm not a Christian. But now I'm a Christian. And so I was excited, and I didn't care whether she heard or not. I just had to thank them. because I had judged them for 3 days. That's how I know it was the third day, because I had judged them. You're too legalistic. Germans are like this. If you sing just a little bit out of tune, they'll say stop. You know what you're doing, and so then they say halt. Somebody is singing off key, and the Germans are like that. They're just rigid like that, and they start all over again. But whoever's singing off, you start singing right, and they're just like legalistic. I'm not going to be like these ladies. They're too legalistic. They don't want to have any sin at all. That was a sin. And they were just telling us the truth, because it was true. Somebody did sing off, but it wasn't me. It wasn't Peggy and me. Anyway, you see what a stupid journey I've had, but it all worked out because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. All right. Now, I'm going to prophesy what you just said. It must needs be that heresies that divides Christians from Christian. Heresies must arise among you so that the wise among you may be known. In other words, the wise are people that are already prepared by God, like this group and other groups like them, and they're rising up, and they've never been in power before. But all of a sudden, they're going to inherit, because we saw what's happening, already decided it wasn't of God, already decided it's not what Jesus wants, it's never going to end up Jesus doing it, therefore it's wrong, and we're going to do something about it, but it has to be you, God. You have to then train me. All of a sudden they've raised up, and you realize right here in Dallas, right here in Fort Worth, right here in this area, God is going to raise up people, and a revival is going to start, and it's going to fill not only the United States, it will fill the whole world. But let's start in Texas.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's start in Texas.
Yeehaw.
Hallelujah. So